ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A number of Republican senators say they want to see the House Ethics Committee report into Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. That committee was investigating allegations of sexual misconduct and drug use. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more.
Sources telling us the committee was preparing to vote to release that report as early as this week. But then Gaetz resigned from Congress after being nominated by Trump, abruptly ending their investigation. House Speaker Mike Johnson on Friday, after spending the night at Mar-a-Lago with President-elect Trump, arguing now the report should be shelved.
President-elect also continues to fill out his White House staff. He's named Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. President Biden's in South America for the APEC summit. Then it's the G20 summit. That'll be in Brazil. But on the sidelines at APEC today, he'll meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. A federal judge in Texas blocked a Biden administration rule that would have allowed more workers to be eligible for overtime pay. This is ABC. The path once again clear for the lethal injection of Texas death row inmate Robert Roberson, convicted of killing his daughter in 2002.
Robert Roberson was set for execution last month when the Texas Supreme Court halted the procedure to allow the 57-year-old to testify before a legislative committee. In the end, Roberson did not appear, but his supporters did and argued that he was wrongly convicted and sentenced to die. Now the Supreme Court has removed its temporary block, saying its authority had been circumvented by state lawmakers. No new execution date has been set. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Another TV comedian's going to host the Oscars, but not Jimmy Kimmel's hosted the last 2 years. It'll be Conan O'Brien hosting the Academy Awards on ABC March 2nd for the first time in his career. And 20 years after his last professional fight, 58-year-old Mike Tyson lost a unanimous decision in Texas against YouTuber-turned-boxer Jake Paul. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's now in the hands of the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin's highest judiciary will decide the fate of the state's 1849 abortion law. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
A circuit court determined last year that an 1849 law doesn't apply to medically consented abortions in Wisconsin. The high court heard arguments Monday about whether a 1985 state law overrides the older one, allowing abortions before the point at which a fetus could survive outside the womb. Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, says returning to the status quo would mean a dire landscape for abortion access.
Even though abortion is technically available at clinics in Wisconsin right now, it's heavily restricted because of insurance and Medicaid prohibitions. People have to pay out of pocket for a service that should be covered by insurance.
Abortion access disproportionately affects those who are already the most marginalized, Higgins says. She notes while people from all walks of life may find themselves needing abortion care, factors like poverty and racism make it much harder for some to achieve reproductive autonomy compared to those with more economic and social resources.
Those effects make it much harder for folks to be able to access contraceptive care, be in relationships that are stable and healthy and communicative, be able to see past the end of the day, right, into one's future, if you are, again, sort of focused mostly on your own economic scarcity or figuring out how to feed your kids or figuring out how not to get evicted.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
more news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for mostly cloudy skies, a bit breezy, highs near 51. Some sprinkles or light showers tonight, a low around 43. Cloudy skies, breezy again for Sunday with a high near 55. On Monday, another chance of rain, otherwise partly sunny, 51.
Currently 33 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Tom Moore from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss Trump's personnel selection process and recess appointments. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This week's issue delves into something I love and enjoy sharing, libraries and books. Did you know that there are more than 300 libraries across Wisconsin, and 42 of those offer services right here in New Wisco? Learn more as our cover story features the Appleton Public Library and its upcoming relocation. We'll also check on reading the video trends, and you may be surprised by what we're finding. Plus, commentary from Amanda Nimmer on how not to scandalize the populace when reading in public. Our friend Melissa Kay from Wisconsin Rapids has a fun poem. Conrad Krieger brings us a look at lovely cigars in Green Bay. And Brittany Merlot gets us ready for the upcoming winter weather. Then there's Pete Schwabble with his classic cinema pick of the week. Later, we'll meet a singer-songwriter who's finding a way to combine her love of music and books. First, let's open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with a question. Have you read a book this year? A new survey shows 60% of adults say they have read just one book in the last 8 months. The Statista survey also indicates most people are reading for just 20 minutes a day. How does this compare to readers in our area? Terry Barr went right to the source, the Brown County Library, to find out.
I want to start out by reading one of my favorite quotes about reading. It's, "The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go." Dr. Seuss, of course, joining me to talk more about reading and libraries, books, all that wonderful stuff. Amy Greetens. Amy is Library Services with the Brown County Library. Hi, Amy. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
What do you think of when you hear that Dr. Seuss quote?
It takes me back to my childhood because I've always been a voracious reader. In fact, I was the kid who got yelled at for reading after bedtime because I could not get my hands on enough books and enough information.
And obviously, that has driven you to do what you do today. You work around books at the library. What does that feel like for you as an adult?
Oh, it's wonderful. This is actually my second career. I started off as a middle and high school teacher. I had worked at our library back home when I was in high school. So I was like, you know, I really enjoyed that. Let me get back to that. And it's been wonderful.
There's not a bad day in the library, I have to assume. Most people coming in looking for something good to read. I have some numbers from a recent survey showing half of adults are regular readers, but most still say they've read maybe one or two books in the last year. Does that sound about right to you? Or what kind of trends are you seeing with the Brown County Library?
We've got a wide variety. We have a lot of people, and I will say it seems that our retired folks, lucky for them, are the more voracious readers because they have a little bit more time in their schedule. We have a lot of young families in the community that I'm in, and so we'll get parents who come in and get stacks of books for their kids, but they don't often have the time to read for themselves, so they're going to be the, oh, I'm lucky if I finish a book or two a year, even if they love to read.
Why does it appear that reading books in particular, actual books that you can have in your hand, it really does seem to be making a big comeback?
It does. I work a lot with our teens that come into the library, and in having conversations with them, they've said that so much of their daily life is on screen. So when they want to read, they want an actual physical book.
What would you say to somebody who is listening to this and they're thinking, uh-oh, now that we're talking about books, I haven't read a book in a while. How do they kind of just get slowly back into it?
When I'm working with readers who either are reluctant readers aren't big readers or are just kind of getting back into it, a lot of times I'll ask, what are you interested in life in general? So if it's somebody that likes to travel, okay, let's find you a book about a place that you'd like to visit. Relating it to something that you're already interested in is a great way to get started. But for me personally, I love audiobooks because I can be doing dishes or folding laundry or those tasks that you really just don't want to have to do.
Yeah.
But the time goes faster if I can listen to a book. You know, it doesn't have to be just a paper book or a book on your tablet. There's so many ways that you can enjoy reading.
And again, I've been talking with Amy Greetens. Amy's with Library Services and the Brown County Library System. Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry.
Paperback Writer.
Lovely Cigars is a place to gather and gain connection. Conrad Krieger reports on the history of the cigar industry in Green Bay and Lovely Cigars.
Cigars are more than just tobacco products. Cigars are a way to enjoy company and engage with those around. There are a lot of different cigars to choose from and a past in Green Bay to learn from, but it's an easy way for connection. Mike Jem from Lovely Cigars shares how he came up with the name of his cigar company and how the history of cigars in Green Bay influenced that decision.
Like I said, when I started the cigar shop a long time ago, I would go to like Ralph's Antiques. I'd go to all these different places. Oh. And actually in Ralph's Antiques, I found all these old cigar boxes. And I had no idea that there was like this big history of Green Bay cigar manufacturing. And I opened up this box and inside of it, it had these like two little cherubs and it just all this gold leaf print. And it was just really beautiful. And I looked at it, it said Green Bay, Wisconsin. And then I actually went to the museum in town here and they have a little display that talks about the history of cigar making. It was like one of the biggest cigar manufacturing places in the country. All the boats would come into Green Bay, and rather than going down to Milwaukee, Chicago, they'd stop here. They'd drop off product. They'd save a couple days, you know, travel, yeah, and they'd go back out to sea. So there was the 162nd Rollers Union, which was at one point the largest cigar rollers union in the country was here. So it's just it's a really cool history. There's actually a book called Once a Cigar Maker. I was just talking to Lisa about this right before we came on. And it talks extensively about the history of Green Bay and people used to travel, roll cigars. And there's even at one point, it's considered probably the first documented maternity leave ever. So what happened was this one woman was a cigar roller and every summer she would get like 2 months paid leave for being sick, you know, because she kept having kids.
Jem shares his mission with Lovely Cigars.
It's one of the only places left in the world, I think, where you can have like the janitor next to the doctor, next to the judge.
Right?
And we all talk about the same things. We're all level playing field. It doesn't matter who you are. It's you're not going to sit there and just everybody just sit and talk about cigars and tobacco the whole time. You know, you have to find common interests, find people that you like being around and spending time with. And that's really what it ends up being about mostly.
Jem encourages how to properly smoke a cigar and how it should maintain flavor through the whole duration of smoking.
Well, you're not supposed to inhale. So that's the biggest thing. So, I mean, you just want to enjoy the cigar. You want to enjoy the smoke. You want to kind of roll it around in your mouth, you know, puff it in and then blow it out. So you just got to be careful not to like burn the crap out of the end of it because then that can ruin the flavor. So the whole thing is it's really flavor dependent when you're smoking a cigar. It's not just about smoking. It's about enjoying the flavor, the nuance. And if you burn the crap out of it with the torch, you know, or something like that and really overburn it, then you can kind of ruin that flavor.
Lovely Cigars has a wide range of products and what you can expect when you shop online or go to the retailers.
There's really high-end stuff and there's really low-end stuff and a lot of it depends on the type of tobacco or long filler versus short filler, but yeah, there's definitely a range.
Mike Jem joined Mino and the Mayor mornings on WISS and WGBW. Lovely Cigars can be found on lovelycigars.com and through their retailers in Green Bay. You can also order online. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
In bookstores, of course, at a cozy little cafe, at a coffee shop, on a park bench. There are lots of places you can read in public. New Wisco Weekend commentator Amanda Nimmer has us pondering, what should we be allowed to read in public?
There's a certain type of stigma when you see a girl, a young woman, on a park bench reading a book, a thick book. Perhaps it's a gorgeous autumn day with the wind rustling the pages ever so slightly, but don't worry, she has a tight grip on the book and a gorgeous bookmark falling out past the spine. And you think to yourself, wow, she's so cultured, so educated. Perhaps she has just dozens upon dozens of books at home in her personal library. And you can't help but wonder, what is she learning about? What world has she fallen into that she's clutching that book ever so tightly? Perhaps she's learning about foreign history or stories from the medieval times. Perhaps a wizarding, magical world. Poetry from those past. And yes, it's all of the above, plus smut. I can tell you for almost a guaranteed fact that at least 6 out of 10 women you see reading in public, that book is smut. Just full of it. And you know what? It's totally acceptable. Now, this goes back to when, like, 50 Shades of Grey came out. What was that? 2014, 2013, whatever that was. And men used to get so upset that how dare a person read that in public? Because you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, that is basically porn. That shouldn't be allowed. What I'm really hearing is jealousy because, quite frankly, you can't just pull out your Playboy or open Pornhub on your phone in public, because that's not acceptable. The difference is that a lot of women, they don't need pictures. Women use so much of their brain in order to feel good about themselves that it's always not just a physical response, especially when it comes to the bedroom. They need to be in the right mindset. The brain is where it's at. The fantasy, the story, the intensity, electricity of two characters, whether it be in real life or in fiction. So is it acceptable to read smut in public? 100%. In fact, one of the most popular series right now is A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's so popular that it's now a New York Times number one bestseller. So to those of you who feel appalled that something like this could be read outside of the home in public, try embracing it instead. Because you never know, maybe your partner is reading it and taking that energy to bring home to you in the nighttime. And maybe you'd even consider gifting one to your partner for Christmas. And if that is not enough to sway you, think about it like this. There are no pictures. The titles are very evasive of what's actually happening. And unless you're reading directly over somebody's shoulder, you'll never know. And quite frankly, it's not any of your business. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Christopher Robin and I walk along under branches lit up by the moon, posing our questions to Al and Dior as our days disappeared all too soon.
When we come back, a fun poem, our music segment, the classic cinema pick of the week, and the Appleton Public Library readies for its big move. I'm Lisa Hale, and this is New Wisco Weekend.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I wonder, wonder who.
Who wrote the book of love?
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, winter weather awareness, a fun poem from our Wisconsin Rapids correspondents, and the Appleton Public Library. First, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's film takes us back to 1997 for the Matthew Broderick Reese Witherspoon classic Election. Election is set in a high school and focuses on a student body president race. Front and center is the overachiever and incredibly driven Tracy Flick, played by Witherspoon. The self-righteous Tracy is running unopposed, which does not sit well with social studies teacher Jim McAllister, played by Broderick. McAllister covertly convinces the handsome, popular big man on campus and football hero Paul Metzler, hilariously played by Chris Klein, to jump into the race and run against Flick. Tracy becomes suspicious at the sudden interest in student politics by her not-too-bright classmate.
Oh, hi, Tracy.
Who put you up to this?
What do you mean?
You just woke up this morning and suddenly decided to run for president?
No. I just thought that,
Thought what?
Well, I was talking to Mr. McAllister about my leg and how I still want to do something for the school, and...
So Mr. McAllister asked you to run?
Well, I talked to him and everything, but he just said that he thought it would be a good idea and how there's all different kinds of fruits and, And, well, it's nothing against you, Tracy. I mean, you're the best. I just thought...
Okay. You're on, Mr. Popular.
Broderick's character's obsession with Witherspoon's character is petty, immature, and totally inappropriate. And that's what makes it so funny, watching him try to match wits and bring down a sanctimonious high school senior. Election is expertly directed by the brilliant Alexander Payne, whose credits include Sideways, The Holdovers, About Schmidt, and Citizen Ruth. Payne directs his characters with a Midwest sensibility and very dry sense of humor that is sometimes barely detectable. In addition to directing and producing, Payne also writes or co-writes most of his films. He has two Oscars for Best Adapted Screenplay for 2004's Sideways and 2011's The Descendants. To bring his characters to life, he tends to cast actors who, even if they are big stars, tend to actually look like real people, making them relatable and helping give his films an authenticity. It helps that he often shoots in his hometown of Omaha, Nebraska. In addition to masterful character-based comedy, Election has a suspenseful, well-paced story, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. Definitely check it out before the sequel, Tracy Flick Can't Win, hits theaters in the next couple years. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Winter Weather Awareness Week is next week, and it comes with new warnings. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
Governor Tony Evers has declared November 18th to November 22nd as Winter Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Although we've seen it before, there are some things to remember. First and foremost, remember when you hit the road, go slow and give yourself extra following distance from other cars. The Wisconsin State Patrol says that 9 people were killed and over 2,000 were injured in the state just last winter. Right now is time to get the snow tires on and load the back of the pickup trucks with some weight. This weekend, you'll also want to get the winter weather emergency kits ready and in your car, like a flashlight, batteries, blankets, extra gloves, hat, food, water, a shovel, and kitty litter or sand. That's so you can throw it down to gain traction if you're stuck in a snowbank. Wisconsin experiences an average of 3 to 6 winter storms during the season. But last season was slow for snow. In fact, tons of businesses suffered with the lack of it, especially in the Northwoods. So what can we expect for this winter? Well, I talked to Matt Friedline from the National Weather Service.
It's a lot of nickel and dime snow opportunities, more frequent cold air intrusions too.
And just so you know, the NWS also simplified their winter terminology for cold weather events. They took away the wind chill advisories, watches, and warnings, and now they're going to be called cold weather alerts. For example, wind chill watches will now be called an extreme cold watch, while what was once known in the frozen tundra as wind chill warnings will now go by extreme cold warnings.
But then the winds end, but then some of the coldest temperatures happen in the wake of that, and there'd be no headlines from us in the weather service. So even though it would still be dangerous out, cold is cold is the approach here and the simplification.
And the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says that there were 45 cold-related deaths in the state last year. With 861 emergency department visits and 225 hospitalizations in the state from cold-related illnesses. And the temperatures are about to take a dip. So make sure that you know what the signs of frostbite look like.
It's being smart and reminding young people or elderly who may not always remember or have adequate resources to be able to dress warmly and to ensure that furnaces are working, remind the kids to dress warmly when outside. That might not be the first thing on their mind, because when it gets really cold, it doesn't take long for frostbite to set in, and it can be deceptive, or your car is not working all of a sudden, and now you're out in the cold. So those type of things, it's really important to prepare for.
This is why we say reduce your time outside, including your pets. Make sure you wear several layers of loose-fitting, lightweight clothing instead of one single heavy layer, because the last thing that you want is sweating and triggering hypothermia, and it can sneak up quickly. And at home, stock up on additional supplies and have a plan for what to do if you lose power. Do you have extra batteries and other alternative power sources, like a power bank or a generator? So I guess now you're ready to let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. After all, this is Wisconsin. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
In our issue that celebrates reading and the joy of books, we have a poem for you by Charles McKay. It's submitted to us by our Wisconsin Rapids correspondent Melissa Kay and features Seth Habhager.
Strong Coffee by Charles McKay.
Hush, Joanna, I'll forgive you, but it's certain that the coffee wasn't strong. Own your error. Why so stubborn in the wrong?
You'll forgive me? Sir, I hate you. You've used me like a churl. Have my senses ceased to guide me? Do you think I am a girl?
Oh, no. You're a girl no longer, but a woman formed to please. And it's time you should abandon childish follies such as these.
Oh, I hate you, but why vex me? If I'm old, you're older still. I'll no longer be your victim and the creature of your will.
But Joanna, why this bother? It might happen I was wrong, but if common sense inspire me, still the coffee wasn't strong.
Common sense? You never had it. Oh, that ever I was born, to be wedded to a monster that repays my love with scorn.
Well, Joanna, we'll not quarrel. What's the use of bitter strife? But I'm sorry, I am married. I was mad to take a wife.
Mad indeed. I'm glad you know it. But if law can break this chain, I'll be tied to you no longer in this misery and pain.
Hush, Joanna. Shall the servants hear you argue ever wrong? Can you not have done with folly? Own the coffee was not strong.
Oh, you goad me past endurance, trifling with my woman's heart. But I loathe you and detest you, villain, monster. Let us part.
Long this foolish quarrel lasted, till Joanna, half afraid that her empire was in peril, summoned never-failing aid. Summoned tears in copious torrents, tears and sobs and piteous sighs. Well she knew the potent practice, the artillery of the eyes. And it chanced as she imagined. Beautiful in grief was she, beautiful to best advantage, and a tender heart had he. Kneeling at her side, he soothed her.
Dear Joanna, I was wrong. Nevermore I'll contradict you, but oh, make my coffee strong. I'm Seth Habhager.
And I'm Melissa Kay for New Wisco Weekend.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story on the relocation of the Appleton Public Library. Can you imagine trying to pack, move, and unpack thousands of books, magazines, media, and more? Well, that's coming up in just a moment. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A number of Republican senators say they want to see the House Ethics Committee report into Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. That committee was investigating allegations of sexual misconduct and drug use. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more.
Sources telling us the committee was preparing to vote to release that report as early as this week. But then Gaetz resigned from Congress after being nominated by Trump, abruptly ending their investigation. House Speaker Mike Johnson on Friday, after spending the night at Mar-a-Lago with President-elect Trump, arguing now the report should be shelved.
President-elect also continues to fill out his White House staff. He's named Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. President Biden's in South America for the APEC summit. Then it's the G20 summit. That'll be in Brazil. But on the sidelines at APEC today, he'll meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. A federal judge in Texas blocked a Biden administration rule that would have allowed more workers to be eligible for overtime pay.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A huge win for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers honored their Final Four team from 10 years ago, and Hall of Fame coach Bull Ryan then went out and beat number 9th ranked Arizona, 103-88. Head coach Greg Gard.
Coach Ryan having the banner raised, and then how these guys played. I was most proud of the response when it was 65 all. That showed me the guts and the toughness that is starting to develop with this group, and it's a good step in the right direction.
College football tonight, the Badgers host Oregon at 6:30. NFL, Packers and Bears at noon tomorrow in Chicago. The team hoping for the return of rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, out 2 months with an ankle injury. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich.
Yeah, I can't wait to get him back in the fold. Obviously, his explosive potential, his quickness.
So why wasn't Lloyd at practice Friday?
You can't make this stuff up. Unfortunately, he had appendicitis, so, you know, it's a shame.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for mostly cloudy skies, a bit breezy, highs near 51. Some sprinkles or light showers tonight, a low around 43. Cloudy skies, breezy again for Sunday with a high near 55. On Monday, another chance of rain, otherwise partly sunny, 51.
Right now, 35.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll welcome Meg Deem with the Friends of the Brown County Library to talk about their Give a Kid a Book program.
And Amy Herrick with the Fox Cities Chamber talks about their Excellence in Education Shining Star Awards.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. Colleen Rortvedt joined Mino and the mayor to talk about the Appleton Public Library's journey from its original location to temporary homes back to its original location, but with a new and renovated building. Here's that interview.
Colleen Rortvedt is the director of the Appleton Public Library, and
That has been in the news, and rightfully so. You have done a tremendous job of relocating.
Well, I appreciate that.
You were in it. I just read about it.
Well, thank you. Yes, we've been on about a 15-year journey to getting the new Appleton Library, and there have been different iterations and different proposals over the years. And thanks to patience and persistence and ultimately community support, and I think a vision that really resonated with the majority of the community, we have a really great new library that's going to be coming in early 2025.
And that's not open yet, but the one you're in right now is going to be closing.
Yes, we're in a temporary library. We are in the old Habitat Restore / Piggly Wiggly near Menards on the east side.
I've been there. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I mean, the library truly is about the people. It's about the staff. It's about the community. And the space is a tool. And so, you know, if you stick a bunch of children's librarians into a space, they're going to make it their own and they're going to make it a welcoming space. And I think all of our staff have just done a great job with that. And the community loves the library. They love the staff. So it's been a really powerful experience for us to offer these services in a different way. And I think it's really good for a community to experience different libraries, because you know your personal experience when you walk through the library, but you might not know somebody else's. And so it's really nice to be able to have a different experience when you walk in the door rather than the same thing you've done for 20 years.
You know what I think is cool that you have, though, at that library in Appleton? You have all the small town newspapers. You don't find that much anymore. You can go there, you can read the Denmark News or the whatever, Wrightstown Press, all those little newspapers you guys have there. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we live in a region. You know, I came up from Appleton today, and we all live in this area, not like we live in little boxes in our surrounding blocks. We're a part of this full community, and this is such a great region that I think it's good to know about all those things.
Right. And as much as we're saying how the library is more than bricks and mortar, it's really the community that I can bring in there. You are going to be without a library for a little while.
Absolutely. So the building's an important part of what we do. It's
and you'll have a new building, but I think what we want to talk about a little bit today is you can go and maybe load up's not the right word, but maybe get some reading materials for the next.
Sure. So we close on November 25th. So our last day open is that Monday before Thanksgiving. And so starting that Tuesday, it's going to be really important that you have your library plan, whatever that is. So maybe you're going to come in and check out some materials. Maybe you're going to plan to use digital resources. We have a lot of really great ebooks, audiobooks, and even if those are things you haven't used before, maybe this is a good time to learn about those services. We live in a great region with a lot of great libraries. We are the largest library in the Fox Cities. So we don't want to overwhelm the neighboring libraries, but it's also important that you have access to libraries and that you know you do.
I think you make a really good point of, what would you call it, library planning?
Yeah. Create your library plan. People are talking about a vote plan right now. Make sure you have your voting plan. Well, make sure you have your library plan.
I like that. I want to talk
how
about...
How big are e-books?
Oh, e-books are huge.
They
really, really are. The pandemic, I think, really was a watershed moment for us. A lot of people that were resistant to them started to use them. And between e-books with e-readers or e-audiobooks, they're a big part of what we do.
I'm actually in the process right now of recording mine, my 50 Strong.
Yeah.
It's an endeavor.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's a process.
Yeah.
But those audiobooks are very, very popular for... I'm not just saying seniors, but, you know, but it is for seniors and anyone can listen to that. But I think you made a really good point. And I want to talk about that for a second to learn how to do it. Cause sometimes that stuff's intimidating. It's like, wait, how can you listen to this book? But it's not
absolutely
that hard.
It's, you know, you've got to learn. Each app is a little different, and the different apps have different licensing mechanisms that work with the library. So you have to kind of learn the distinct differences between the different apps. But once you do, you kind of learn which app is best for which thing. And we have a couple of really great apps for access to various audiobooks, ebooks, things like that. And then we can also help you if you're having trouble putting the app on your phone. But there's so much easier to use than they were 5 or 10 years ago.
My mom's 92. It's all video books. And she, it's, I have a daughter who works in the publishing industry, and she's, oh, Grandma, you got to do this, you got to do that. And they just really keep in contact, you know, from 20, she's 28 year old, my mom's 92, and it's all through books.
Absolutely.
And, but Laura reads, and of course my mom listens to her, and she lives in Appleton.
Oh, oh, great.
So that's great you're offering that. Tell me about, what can people do? What are you suggesting people do? You say a library plan. Would that be, tell me a little bit what a library plan might look like.
Yeah, well, you know, the time where we're going to be closed is going to be over the holidays. So that tends to be one of the less busy times. So in terms of when it's best for the library for the Appleton Library to not be available, there's no good time, but this is a decent time because a lot of people are really busy doing other stuff. So think about like what are you planning on reading? How much reading material do you need? You know, come before we closed, make sure you have access to those materials, and then stop in and we can help walk you through some of the apps and other e-resources. And then it's a great time to check out our neighboring libraries. We are really rich with libraries in the community.
Is it reciprocal? Can I just go? You're the director of the Appleton
Library.
Okay, and then do you have a relationship with Kimberly or Green Bay? Or?
So we are part of library systems, and so this area has three library systems, but you can have cards for each one.
Okay.
So you can have what's called an InfoSoup card, and that's what the Appleton Library and the system that we are in is part of. So that's Kimberly, Littleshoot, Kakana, New London. Then you can have cards for Winnifox. That includes Nina and Menasha to the south of us. And then you can have a Brown County Library card as well.
All right.
And so we know a lot of people that took this time to like drive around and experience a new library. And that's a powerful thing.
And that's kind of fun in and of itself to go to New London and check out their library. Because you get used to a library, you kind of go to that library.
Right. In the summer, we actually do what's called a library road trip. And we encourage you to go to the different libraries in the system. We have a little passport that you can get stamped and prizes and stuff like that.
I don't know
that.
What year you got started in libraries, but the difference from 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, 12 years ago, versus then and now, what you need to know, the knowledge, the continuing education a librarian must stay up on is pretty amazing, I'll bet.
Yeah, you really do have to stay up on a lot of the technological changes because that's the path to a lot of these different tools. People call us for information about what's happening in the community. The old library, I compare it to like a grocery store model. It was very transactional. You'd come in, you'd check out, you'd like grab a box of cereal off the shelf or check out a book, take it home, consume it, bring it back. Today, it's more like a test kitchen. You're able to still do those traditional things, but we also want you to come in, learn from community members, learn by hands-on doing. A lot of maker things happen in libraries these days. A lot of access to technology. So it's a much more exciting vibe. It's not the shush library of the past. You can still find those spaces. You know, we still are going to have study rooms and places for quiet study.
Well, let me tell you what the highest tech aspect of going to the library was when I was a kid.
Sure.
You take those 3D viewfinder things and those old like postcards and you put those in and you look at them. It's like the pyramids in Saudi Arabia or wherever, whatever, whatever. That was like the highest tech thing in a library in my day. Yeah. What did you guys ever do with the little the card things?
The card catalogs?
Yeah.
So
those got to be a collector's item.
They are. You can find them on different auction sites and things like that. We've saved a couple that are special, but otherwise they're auctioned
in
off
the past,
and
yeah.
Probably I've seen people make seed libraries out of them. We used a seed library, one for a seed library, and we've seen people put bottles of wine in them.
Oh, I believe it. It's cool. It's all oak. It's all solid oak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little behind the curtain of what are you going to look for in that new library? I bet you are so excited about it. And I said, you've been at this for 15 years.
Yeah. So what's really cool about this is even though we call it the new library, but it's still the old bones. The old library is still under there. And what we have been able to see change in it is, first of all, you have access to light. So if you were in the old library, it was a very kind of dark space. It opened in 1981.
Like all libraries were.
Opened in 1981, had few windows. You know, it was come in and, you know, study over a book and don't make too much noise. That was the vibe. And now it's going to have light coming down between skylights and penetrations in the floor, bringing light deep within the building. It has a beautiful front.
A real welcoming
pavilion.
Place, huh?
Absolutely. So what we want is we want people to come in and be able to have that same serendipitous experience that they would have maybe stumbling on a book on the shelf that they weren't expecting to find in the old days. So we want you to be able to do that. But we also want you to walk in and be able to stumble on an activity that's happening in the library, a program, a service that you maybe weren't expecting to learn about. So you want to come back over and over and be like, I wonder what's happening down in the children's area. And you bring your kids, your grandkids, and it's just part of that. Like, there's always something different going on at the library.
You know, Colleen Rortfett, who is the director of the Appleton Public Library, new library progress that's going on in Appleton. This has been a 15-year, I'm going to say it's a struggle, but a 15-year process. How's that?
That's a word. Yes, that's an accurate word.
Well, you lived it. I just watched it. But I did talk to some people about that. I think communities want, libraries are more modern. There's more things going on. Like you said, it's not just a shh, you know, in a dark room. And what would be your advice for a community that's thinking, we'd like to upgrade our library?
Well, I think if you believe you need a new library, an improved library, a renovated library, or there's something that's not adequate in your library, you need to work with the community. You need to work with whatever municipality or county that library is a part of and try to work together. I mean, while we did put out several plans that didn't result in a library, we learned something every step of the way. And some of the things we learned early on were that I think the people who were really deeply connected to this building, because this building had served our community for, you know, 40 years very well. And so some of the folks that were opposed to some of the other iterations, I think they were maybe disappointed because the place that meant so much to them felt like it was being left aside. And so I think when you hear things that maybe aren't included in your plans, incorporate them seriously. Listen to that feedback very seriously. And when you have a plan that gels, you know, I think this moved forward really quickly because Mayor Woodford saw that that resistance was out there to a different location. And once we got past that, it really went fast.
Colleen Rortfett was a guest on Mino and the Mayor, airing weekday mornings on 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice. She's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits and you know you're going to fall, tell them a hookah smoking caterpillar has given you the call. Call Alice when she was just small.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, Terry Barr introduces us to a musician, a singer-songwriter, who has a love for books and the written word. This is New Wisco Weekend on WISS and WGBW.
...97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Do you remember the last time you wandered around a bookstore? One woman loved this idea so much, she bought the store. Again, here's Terry Barr, who talked with Molly Fish to learn more about her love of reading books. And as it turns out, she loves to write songs, too. Let's take a listen.
Song we are listening to is Stay Down. This is by the Civil Engineers and lead singer Molly Fish. Wow, Molly has quite the unique story to share with us. First of all, thanks for being here, Molly.
Hi, Terry. Always great to talk to you.
We will get into your unique story in just a second, but first, what can you tell me about Stay Down?
Well, this song was written primarily by Kyle Wrightley, a fabulous local musician and our guitar player in the Civil Engineers. And he had a couple of lyrics he liked, but then he left the rest of it up to me. I decided to make this song about a woman fighting to get to the top, and she's being told to stay down, and so she starts telling everybody else, no, you better stay down.
It's funny because it leads perfectly into what we're going to be talking about now. You opened a bookstore. So here we're talking about writing and reading. Why was this a dream of yours?
I have always loved books and reading, but I would either be sitting and reading and you can't talk to me, or I would be like on stage, you know, showman, singing, performing. Those were like my two vibes. I had always dreamed of owning a bookstore as I became involved in small businesses. I worked at a lot of bookstores, and it was just kind of like a pipe dream of like, but you know, the pandemic changed a lot of things for a lot of people, and it changed how we thought about our lives and what we do every day. Really realized I want to love what I do every single day. I opened Lake City Books in April of 2023. It honestly surpassed my wildest dreams.
There is a recent survey that shows print books are making a comeback. What are you seeing in your store, Molly?
Here's what is happening. We are on our screens so often. We work on our screens. Students and young people study and learn on their screens. So if you want to read a book, it's like how records came back, except books are even more resilient as a medium and as a thing that people love and want to keep and want to collect. Like the item itself has become something. Even among young women, I think is like one of the biggest trends, and which is so exciting to me. Yeah. They're reading romance books just unapologetically. They're reading fantasy and getting into, like dragons and talking about books on TikTok and social media. And the fact that that's the thing that a lot of young people are talking about is incredible. And I always try to encourage that. I'm like, I don't care what you're reading. If you're reading romance, that's great. Get in the habit of reading, have books in your life.
I'm talking with Molly Fish, fabulous musician and owner of Lake City Books. Do you have any personal reading goals that you're trying to meet right now? And it sounds like you read a lot of the books that are in your bookstore.
I try to read very diversely, specifically so that I can recommend things to a wide variety of people. So my goal is always 52 books a year. I need to read at least one book a week. I've already hit 52 for this year.
Oh, wow. So
now everything is just gravy.
We are going to end this with the song Strawberry Waffles. Tell us about this one, Molly.
It's like a little revenge story. So the chorus is, my mama told me that I had a taste for blood. When they let me write the lyrics and the vocals, sometimes that's just what comes out.
Molly Fish, she is a reader. She is a bookstore owner. She's a writer and a musician. So let's take a listen to Strawberry Waffles. Molly Fish, thanks so much.
Thank you, Terry.
And he's pretty handy.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, stories and features from Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Pete Schwaba, and commentary by Amanda Nimmer. This week's issue featured appearances by Jim Schmidt, John Mino, and Seth Habhager. For comments and suggestions, email lisa.hale@civicmedia.us or text us through the Civic Media app. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will take a look at what happened over the weekend. Don't worry, nothing. Well, yeah, some things are going to happen over the weekend. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. from the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.